Good evening, good evening, good people. It's your boy, C. Will Holler, a.k.a. the Podfather, a.k.a. the Professional Conversationalist, a.k.a. the hardest working man in podcasting. And I'm here with my illustrious guest, Mr. He Is Blanchard, who just dropped his new album, Still Waiting. And I love to tell him, nah, my brother, the wait is over. How you doing this evening, man?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Doing pretty good.
Well, bro, it's been a while, and you're definitely one guest that I've been anxiously anticipating to have you on this podcast, man. Well, we're going to get into it, because you have your own podcast, and I actually subscribe to it.
Yeah, it's called The Dirty Soapbox. And honestly, you know, you gave me the podcasting idea. And I kind of just did it off of the strength of you telling me I should do it. But I never really had any podcast aspirations in my life. So it's all you're doing. I'm feeling my way through it, though. I'm trying to, I'm trying to get...
I've heard a couple of your episodes. Actually, I've heard all of them, and I think they're pretty good. To your point, I wasn't about that podcast life, and I was invited and to join someone's podcast, and as they say, the rest is history. I think what podcasting for me has allowed me to do was be able to clear my thoughts, clear my mind, and just kind of have that recording from just what I call thought streams, and being able to play that back with a soundtrack and some edits and some cuts, and voila, man, you actually have an episode. So, I mean, I know we're making it sound easier than it is, because like I said before, putting yourself out there is not an easy deal, but I want to talk to you about that, man, because I've actually listened to the album for the past 2 days, and talk about putting yourself out there, man. Like, what gave you the inspiration to get into music to begin with?
Well, you know, it's funny because I looked at a family tree book that we had, and one of my great-great uncles was a... this dude was a singer, entrepreneur. He was like, he was all these things in one. It was like, he's like a one-man show, you know, owned property, played instruments, music. So I was just wondering, where did I get the love for music from? Now, I told you this before, that God told me to do music. And I say that because one day I was asked, will a man rob God? And I honestly believe that when I was asked that question, it was about me robbing God of me not being who God wanted me to be, not using my gifts. So that's how I was robbing God, because I'd always had the yearning to do music. And from trying to play instruments when I was younger, writing poetry, always been a writer. All these things. So these things have always been in my life, and I ran from them because I figured that nobody would accept me want to do that.
Yeah.
I remember being 13 years old. I remember my first rap. I called myself the Mizak. Listen, man.
The Mizak from Sizak.
I said, man, listen, I said, this is the Mizak. Making smooth lyrics. I don't yell loud, but still you can hear it. Just like a sword, I'm slicing through opponents, never falling short. I'm always in the bonus. This is at 13.
I was about to say bars, man.
That's at 13.
Bars.
So when I hear somebody tell me I don't have bars now, I say that's impossible. I was spitting back then.
That's a true story, man. I actually like that. The Mizak from Sizak.
The Mizak. Right. Then it went from Mizak, and I used to call myself Velly Veiled and Veil Veiled.
Okay,
and,
okay.
You know, and then it's Veil 1DA, Veil Wonder, and all this, you know, just going through a metamorphosis. But my problem was, honestly, is that I was not embracing who I really was as far as an artist.
Mm.
So I was trying to make everybody comfortable around me. So I was trying to fit myself into a mold that everybody would accept. Versus just being myself.
Focusing on the art. So basically, you were caught in a position of trying to create and feel in a mission, not a mission, but an image, versus the true creativity that comes with being an artist.
Exactly.
Your passion, your purpose, your calling.
Exactly.
Okay. And until that one fateful evening, and I remember that evening, I actually have it down in my notes. I call it God calling, man. I've actually been speaking a lot on that because I know personally I've dealt with that in my life, and God put me in a position to where I had to answer the call in this particular year. So, and I actually had that, like I said, the night God called, do music. Just walk us through how that happened and what that moment felt like when God called.
So basically, you know, I think I had left the club, and I remember that night in the club, I was like hearing music the whole night, and I kept saying my own lyrics to the songs I was hearing. Mm-hmm. It was like constant. Now keep in mind, I would wake up out of my sleep with lyrics in my head. Mm-hmm. I would literally wake up with song ideas in my head. I would literally have a song idea and then hear it on the radio. Mm-hmm. So this was happening my whole life. And then, so one day, I left the club, went home, went to sleep, and I promise you, I woke up and God was like, it's time for you to make music. And it scared me. And it scared me because I knew it was real now. You know, I've been running the whole time, but now I know it's serious because I'm waking up out of my sleep. Yeah. And I was like, dang. Now, I'd gotten used to psyching myself out.
Facts.
You know, so.
As we all do.
So what I did was I hit you up and I was like, well, hopefully he'll give me the, he'll shoot it down. I'll be good again. And you was like, nah.
Surely Chris said, yeah. It's going to be all right.
I said, the prophet said, surely I get a pass, Lord, you know. So I called you up at a reprieve, you know. And you was like, I said, man, come on. You was like, hey, you got to do music. What God tell you to do music then? I was like, dang. And you said it so matter-of-factly with no budget. So I'm just like, oh, man. So ironically, though, not ironically, but it's, I know it was God. So I'm toiling with myself thinking, how am I going to do music? Mm-hmm. Like, how am I even going to get, like, what am I going to do? And I was working with kids and a guy had a program working with kids in the school. And basically what he was doing was he would let kids record songs as an incentive for good behavior.
Okay.
And I talked to the guy, and like after one of his little sessions, I was like, dang, man, you got the setup, you got the mic, you got the, he asked me, I never mentioned this guy wanted to do music. This guy asked me, do you want to record? And I was like, yeah. And it's just weird. I never told him I want to do music. So do you want to record? And honestly, the rest is history. And that person who I asked that about was someone very close to Kanye.
Wow.
And I remember for a fact that there was a song on Kanye's album, Graduation, mm-hmm. and it was that song, So Throw Your Hands Up in the Sky.
Yeah.
I got that song. He showed me a video of Kanye West not wanting to put that song on the album and him convincing him to put that song on the album. I'm looking at him.
That was one of the number one songs.
The number one songs on the album. And he's telling him,
wow,
put it on. And he was like, nah. And so I saw that and I was like, this is crazy. But that's how God works, though.
Absolutely.
So that's basically my story and how I got into doing music.
That's funny, man, because I love to say your words never return to you void. And the fact that you graciously mentioned my name as you told that beautiful story, but something you glazed over that, and it's something that you gave me years ago. You told me provisions will be made.
Yes.
And the fact that you mentioned fear and hesitation, I think it goes back to what we are dealing with it a lot in life when it comes to us really truly finding our purposes, chasing our passions. It's just that disbelief in ourselves that we can do these things. Now, we have these dreams. You know, I heard someone say, of course you have more than one dream. You sleep every night. So you got thousands of dreams. If you're lucky enough to have thousands of nights. But little nuggets like that always kind of, yeah, they make me chuckle and they make me laugh. But there's so much knowledge and wisdom and understanding in these statements. So talk to me about how that one fateful night of God calling and you answering, and then just how the universe began to coalesce and align into your purpose, where provisions were made, where you know, a guy who you never had the conversation about music, you never had a conversation with him about music, and here, lo and behold, he has all the equipment, and the only missing piece to that process was you.
It was me. So it's funny because, so I worked with him, and keep in mind, during this whole process, for most of my beginning projects, it was no budget. So, you know, I'm scraping pennies together and rubbing them, trying to.
It's all passion.
You know, it's no.
No profit.
No profit. You know, profit had no honor, man. Listen, profit had no bread. But listen, so I'm literally struggling to make this music, and I'm getting upset because I'm like, I'm doubting myself.
Facts.
I'm not giving 100% because, like I said before, I blame my shortcomings on the fact that even though God told me to do it and I was doing it, I didn't fully embrace it. And part of not fully embracing something is being afraid, because the fear gives you apprehension. And I didn't fully embrace it, so I really couldn't get the full benefits from doing the music.
You was looking for a way out.
100% correct. And so on my first real project, mixtape I did, a guy from the gym, I gave him my CD and he liked it. And he liked it so much, like he was like, man, he was just telling me, like, this is great, this is awesome. I'm looking at him like, this dude gotta be crazy, man. I said, you like it? Like, and he's like, I like it. And then he's just going on and on. I'm thinking to myself, what in the world did this dude, you know, and guess what? I had told people I was doing music and everybody was pretty much shooting it down. They weren't accepting it. They weren't really taking it. Like, nobody's really supporting me in this process. I mean, it was you and maybe my closest people that just love me, that supported me just because they love me. But most folks I actually knew didn't support me. But this guy, who I just knew from the basketball court, just loved my album. And I was like, man. And he was literally breaking down, going song by song, like, I remember he was in the car one time and he was like, ooh, I like that. Like, you said this. I was like, this guy's really listening to me. So it gave me hope, though.
Facts.
It gave me hope. And then I remember I was selling that CD to random people and they was buying it. I couldn't get folks I know to buy the music. But random people off of me asking to buy it was actually buying the CD. I even had a girl I was dealing with. She took it to work. She sold all of them. I'm like, how the heck you sell these CDs? So
you need to bring them back on the team.
Man. So all this stuff was happening. And keep in mind, I'm releasing project after project. And again, the budget is minimal. Mm-hmm. But people are giving me hope. And I remember I went to some conference. Not conference, but like something with CSAC, like a songwriting association. And we had went out of town to Orlando. To Full Sail University. Mm-hmm. And there was a...
Shout out to Orlando.
Yes. And there was a bunch of producers and artists from around the world there. It was like 100-something people. And so I brought my CD, man, and I was so scared to get these folks my music, man. But they had it set up to where it's like speed dating. So you could speed date and listen to somebody's music for 5 minutes and then keep going. When I tell you, people listen to my music, man, and they was liking it. I couldn't believe it. I was like, you like it? Like, it's awesome.
Everybody liked the music except you.
Except me. That's the crazy part.
Message.
So, hope I'm not rambling on, but.
No. That's...
So after that, I got hope to do another project. Mm-hmm. And another project, I really kind of put a better foot forward. Mm-hmm. And that project was received better. That was the Hustle Hard Mouthpiece Volume 3.
Okay.
And I think A Man and His Movement or something like that. I forgot the name. But HHM3, it's on iTunes. And people like that too. Mm-hmm. People's like, man, this song is hot. This song is a hit. So they're going, so everybody's liking these songs. People hitting me up. Now folks are like, okay, he's not whack.
Right.
Now the people I know are saying, okay, he got a little something. So, you know, we going to kind of support him.
He got some sauce.
It's a little
he
bit.
He got a meal, but he got a salt.
He got a few salt packets, a few pepper, you know.
some paprika,
you know. But so that album got a lot better reviews, and that album gave me more confidence.
Okay.
And on that album, I kind of pushed the envelope musically with the kind of songs I did, in my opinion. So we go to the next project, and these last three projects are the ones that I really call my real art pieces of artwork, because they're all original content. Mm-hmm. They're not mixtapes. So that starts with the If You Were Listening. And
which I thought was a pretty solid album.
And I said If You Were Listening because I felt like people weren't listening. Folks may have been supporting me because it was me, or folks may not have been listening because it was me. But I felt like if they actually just listened to the music, they would enjoy it.
Let the music stand on its own.
Music stand on its own. And a lot of times, even somebody like yourself, you're starting a podcast late, but people know you as Chris Williams, mm-hmm. such and such. So you coming into something new, being a podcast host, and they're like, we can't see Chris like that. So it's hard for folks to even receive what you're doing because they can't get past the fact that you're
it's
doing
me. Yeah.
It's you. Fact. And most folks are not really hating.
I would agree with that.
Most people just can't see it. So they can't, them not being able to see it, it's hard for them to even support what you're doing because they just can't see it. And I get it. The benefit that you had is that you jumped into your podcast head first with No Holds Barred.
That's right.
So the people are receiving it because you're not apprehensive about it. And like I said earlier, I was reluctant, so it was holding people back. It was holding fans back. It was holding people back because I wasn't fully into the music like I should have been, because in the back of my mind, I'm like, I got to make folks comfortable about what they're hearing. I got to make folks comfortable about me being doing music and all this stuff. So it's just, that was my hang up.
Which sounds crazy. for me to hear you say that, someone who is bold, someone who is brash, someone who I would never in my 42 years of being on this earth, and I've known you about 12 of those 42, I would never associate you with I wouldn't say fearful or scared or anything like that, but I would say fear of judgment. Maybe that's the terminology that comes top of mind when I'm dealing with that question. But so you would say that your apprehension came from fear of being judged about this project?
I think it came, first of all, it came from knowing the fact that I know this is what God wanted me to do. That's the first thing. Like there was a shadow of doubt, like, no, God wants me to do this. So that already puts the pressure on me. And then on top of that, I'm like, but they won't receive me. Mm. So I'm like, but I'm not getting any instruction on what to do if I'm not received. God just said, do music. So I had to figure out that God telling me to do that was a blessing because it freed me up to be who I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
In all areas of life, not just music, but in all areas to where I can be the best that I want to be and need to be for myself.
And the only way you can ever be the best you are going to be at anything is without apprehension. You have to be fully
Facts.
Committed to the project. You
Yes.
can't half-ass it. You can't shortchange it. You can't pull up. You can't pull out. You got to go all in.
Pull-out game got to be weak, right? Your pull-out game got to be weak. You got to stay in that
you
thing,
gotta
man.
Stay in that thing to win
Bernie
that
Mac
thing.
Bernie Mac says, stir like coffee, man.
Let me go back to something, man, because you mentioned this, and again, you are one of these people that I love to listen to because you say so much in such a small amount of time that you jump over these huge gargantuan things I like to call jewels or infinity stones. I wrote down doing music, and you were saying to people that you're doing music But the funny thing about that is you didn't have any music to give to them. So the one person you said, hey, I do music, and you gave him the CD, he loved the CD. You see how that works?
Yeah.
You got to put something in the people's hands, man. You can't just walk up and say, hey, I do music. It's like, because they're to your point, they're going to receive you because they love you, they appreciate you. When you say, I do music, and you put a project in their hand, mm-hmm. Somebody's going to give that a spin just because it's you. And I think that's why people have received the podcast from me. To your point about jumping and doing the podcast head first, I mean, that first project, man, I can't tell you how many times I re-edited, deleted, and all these other things. And I was, that moment of pushing that publish button, I mean, I'm hearing my heartbeat in my ears.
Yeah.
And I just seen one thing go bing. I got one listen. And the crazy part about that is, and to your very same point about how you're telling the story about if they don't receive you. And you know I love that story.
Mm-hmm.
I published that podcast and I had one play for almost 2 weeks. I never told anyone that.
I've been there, man.
I had one play for 2 weeks.
I know what you mean.
And I'm in my head, I'm like, man, God, you got me out here looking crazy. Crazy, man. I already had a rough 2018, like, of all records. I said, but you got me out here looking crazy. And someone said, but did you tell folks about it?
Mm.
And I was like, nah, I didn't tell nobody. And they was like, why don't you put it on your Instagram? Why don't you put it on your Facebook, your social media? Push it.
Push
it. Like, you believe in the project. And the one day I dropped that on my IG, it's crazy. And I will show you the graph. That thing went from that one play, Dartford, almost 2 weeks. And then that next day, it had like 28. And then the next day, 54. Mm-hmm. And then one day, I had 86 plays in one day. And I'm well over 1,000, and I've only been doing this for, I only have 16 episodes.
Yeah.
And I have over 1,000 plays. And it's every day I'm always so blessed and humbled to hear people believing in the project, but it first took me to believe in the project. But to that same point, man, when you told me God called you to do music, I mean, I tell a story about when we was in Miami, man, and I'll tell that story. So we're in Miami, I want to say it's 2010, and for whatever reason, this was like a magical trip, because everything went right. You know, normally when you're going on a trip, something goes bonkers, something goes haywire, you forget something, somebody get locked out, you got beef with the hotel lot, whatever. But for whatever reason, it was like the universe was aligned and purposeful for us that particular trip, because it was a breeze getting down there. The hotel room was better than we thought it was going to be. I remember that. The Nautilus on Collins.
Was living, man.
Yeah. With the complimentary continental breakfast. And we get to this moment. The crescendo moment. Every hero has this moment in their story. We're standing in the front of Club Live.
Mm.
And my boy look at me. And I, bruh, you want to talk about prophecy? How about this? You're literally, I guess in this story, the figure you would be Jesus.
And y'all hear that?
And you got a thief on the right and the thief on the left. And one telling you, man, you ain't getting in there. You out here with us. And the other guy said, I believe you. If you say we getting in,
we getting in.
We getting in. And the rest is history. Everybody know that story. One guy ends up getting his eyes plucked out.
One guy go off to glory.
And one guy ride off in the glory with the man. And I remember that story. We were standing in front of Club Live and you looked at me. And you say, man, you think we getting in? And I had to remind you of the weekend that we had.
That's crazy, right?
Like, we
all them dragons we slayed, and I'm still in disbelief.
Still in disbelief. I'm like, brother, we done walked on water. We done healed the sick. We done raised the dead. We done got bottles for free. We done touched models for free.
We did everything.
I'm like, with no money or price, what in the hell are you asking me about, man? Let's go ahead and get it. And I think this is the one thing that I have said 1,000 times. in this journey called life, it's very important to have a story, but it's more important to have somebody to help you verify the facts. And that's definitely what I would say. Being able to sit back and watch you on this journey as you continue to focus on your craft, hone your craft, and create art. And it's been a beautiful ride, man. But I want to back up a little bit and talk about where you're from.
Yeah, so I'm basically from Sacramento, California. And I came out, just the same story that most inner city kids have, the same, single parent household. Father locked up, drugs, crime, the same cliche story that any other rapper would have, I got it. So I'm not unique in my story, but I will say that I'm blessed to have a great family though. And they really stuck by me my whole life, really. And so I'm very appreciative of my family. I love them to death because if all else fails, they support me.
Facts.
And so, but yeah, me growing up, Sacramento, you know, Macramento, MacTown, it's all, y'all know about it, y'all.
Well, talk about your musical influences from that area, because they actually are one of the few places here in America that have a unique sound.
Yeah, so we're close to the Bay Area, and the Bay Area to me is like the mecca of everything. To me, it's the Bay Area is the mecca of fashion, it's the mecca of culture, it's the mecca of swag, it's the mecca of everything that we... this trendy or going on. I feel like the Bay Area, the mecca of game. I think E-40 said it's where the game originated. Like, the Bay Area is its own, to me, epicenter of the world. Mm. And if you go there, one day I want us all to go down there and just take a tour and just to see how much culture is there. And it's just so many musical styles, musical influences. So I got to grow up listening to E-40, Mac Dre, RBL, Drew Down, Mac Maul, even from my hometown, Sebo, Brother Lynch, Homicide, now we got Young Mozzie, just so many artists in that area, so many different styles, Spice One, mm-hmm. Too Short, it's just so many artists from that area, so, and my family is rapping, my cousin is a rapper. My other cousin was rapping. My other cousin is rapping now. So there are a lot of rappers in my family. I want to do a tour like the Jacksons, Yeah. Be like the rap version of the Jacksons,
The Blanchard family.
Yeah.
The
Blanchard family,
There you go.
The Blanchards and the Hassans, But yeah, so my family is into music. But I look back in that book, that family tree book, and I saw that
where it comes from.
I saw where it came from. So I knew, I said, this is confirmation though. And this is what I want to tell somebody right now as a quick note. Whatever you are passionate about, you have to do it 110%. Almost to the point where there's a cliff in front of you, you just jump off. Because otherwise you're not gonna get the best results.
Facts.
If you tiptoeing in it, you're gonna get a tiptoe reward.
What does it say? If you give begrudgingly, you will receive begrudgingly. If you give bountifully, you will receive bountifully.
So. And guess what? And that's fair. So that's where I'm from as far as my area of musical influences. But I've always loved the oldies, though.
Facts.
I've always loved old school music. Always like Al Green and Marvin Gaye and, Aretha Franklin, Nita Baker, just so many artists that I just grew up on and I love. Like, I literally loved the oldies. And my mom would be playing it. People come over, they playing cards, dominoes, that music playing. I would love it.
Why don't we do that anymore?
I don't know, man.
Why don't we gather together like that? I mean, to your point, any black child from the 70s and the 80s, and probably the early 90s, but not too much after that, what happened to those gatherings? And it wasn't for a holiday or anything.
Just a get-together. Just came over and kicked it. Like, it had a great time, though.
Yeah, man. We need to get back to that.
We do.
We need to get back to that. So, you tell me about where you're from. You tell me about your family trees. Let's talk about this social media profile. Mr. He Is Blanchard. I follow you not only because you're my friend. I follow you because I have a lot of friends I don't follow. So, let's be 1,000% clear on that. I don't believe in an echo chamber. And I wouldn't want anybody who didn't believe what I was saying to follow me either.
Yeah, exactly.
But back to your social media profile. And I bring that up because you have a lot of social commentary. You have a lot of viewpoints that most people agree with. I would say you say a lot of things that a lot of people are afraid to say.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that come from? Because I do know there is a big history of that coming from the Bay Area and California.
Yeah, activism and protest, yes. I probably get that from my mother.
Okay.
And that probably comes from my grandfather, which my grandfather's side of the family is like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very vocal. We're very opinionated. Mm-hmm. We get that all from him. So that's like my uncle's the same way. Like we all loud talking. You're not gonna out talk us. We running our mouth.
I know that for a fact.
You know, and
that's actually how we met.
And we're brazen about it though.
Yeah.
And being from the Bay Area, you know, where it's just so much game. I'm not from the Bay Area, but I mean being from Northern California,
mm-hmm.
where it's just so much game, it kind of intensified with that in our genes.
Mm-hmm.
So we got extra sauce, mm-hmm. you know. Is what they say. Dripping, drip set, you know what I mean? We got extra drip, you know, so we leaving puddles because it's just in our genes, though. So on social media, I honestly don't think about any kind of consequence, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
I actually just get on there and say what I got to say, and
I would 1,000% agree with that.
And I'm just like, it goes the crazy part, man. I'll post a video and it'll get 500 views.
Facts.
Right? Somebody else, and this happened a lot of times, post the same video on their page and it gets 40,000. And I say, how is that possible? But I understand that a prophet has no honor at home. So it ain't the fact that it's necessarily what I'm saying. It's just
who's saying it.
So people can receive me that don't know me.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that with my music, more folks buy my music who don't know me than folks that do. There are people that, I look at my little spreadsheets of what music is selling out. It's folks all over the world. Mm-hmm. I'm like, how they know people all over the world buy my music, don't even know me. Spinning it, listening to it. The folks hit me up on Instagram the other day and they said, send us your track, we'll play it on Monday. On our radio show.
I saw that.
And I'm just like, that's off a snippet they heard in the background.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, people that don't know me, they'll hear what I'm saying and they riding with it. I'm like, well, I'm upset because I'm like, but this is my page though. So y'all got to show love to my page. You know what I mean? Like y'all showing love, but I get it though. And I had to get over that too.
Yes, you do.
I had to get over, you know, posting something and then it not doing what I think it should do. And then I had to start posting to stop focusing on who was going to view it and then just put the truth out there.
Facts.
What's my truth? So that's what I did. I remember one time I posted something, man, and a guy we both know called me up and he said, man, I don't know what you need. I want to financially support you. If you want to go to LA, if you want to write a book, do a show. He said, I don't know, man. I got to help you out somehow. I got to give you something, man. I got to give you something.
Say the message got to be told.
And he said, man, I got to give you something. Then somebody else we know hit me up and said, man, you should have millions of followers.
Facts.
Here go the crazy part, though. That stuff is good enough for me because I at least I know in the end the truth has gotten out there. And I may not get to see the rewards of it, but I realize and I feel it with blessing people. So thanks. I'm focused on getting the content out there. The chips fall where they fall, then they fall. But I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And if they want to sponsor me and put that check behind me, then just know what you're getting. And I may play a little bit with y'all, but the content pretty much going to stay the same. Now, I'm not going to be jumping, you know, all over the place.
So we won't be placating to no audiences. We're going to tell it how
supposed we're going to tell how supposed to be told now.
That's right. I love the way Kendrick said that. His reward, that's God's decision. And I think once we come to that understanding and that discernment, that level of confidence and obedience that has to come with chasing your dreams and following your passions, that's when I find out that these things will be given to you. I think we worry about these things like, oh God, if you bless me with this, this, and this, then I'll do it. It's like, but if I give you that, you ain't gonna want to go out there and do it.
You ain't gonna do it.
Yeah. So you gotta, you know, like I said, the guy I would never fight is the guy with that little foam on the corner of his mouth. He hungry.
Yeah, he got that little foam foaming up, man.
He's starving, man.
Starving.
I don't want no smoke with that guy.
Nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Yeah, man. I thought that was funny because I saw the post with our guy Nino Brown in there about the looky-loos, the folks who look but don't like.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I think social media has taken a bad rap with all media that takes a bad rap. And I remember this one line from this one song that we love to hear when we go to our spot, the L Bar. Shout out to L Bar. L Ponce.
Shout out to L Bar, man.
What he said, it ain't the game that's lame, it's just the people in it.
Yeah.
And I that to me, that's what social media has done.
What he say, the game ain't gutter, it's just the people in it.
There you go.
Yeah.
We won't use that word. But I believe that because, and the reason why I say I believe that, because it's a lot of people who see you chasing your passion, and in their purview, oh, who does this guy think he is? He's doing all this, and that. And they don't even understand the internal turmoil that you're going through to be in position to chase your passion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people don't understand what you're sacrificing, what you're risking to not be a robot, to not be an automaton. You actually had one of those lyrics, and as I'm running my mouth, I can't remember the lyric, but you said basically something about them giving you a job. So
I said they rob you with a job, and that's to keep you average.
There you go. Rob you with a job. Will a man rob God? And they robbing you with a job.
Rob you with a job.
Oh, man. Wow. I'll say this, man. Like I said, I listened to the album the first day you told me about it, and I've played it. I don't know. I played it this morning when I was getting ready for work. I played it on my way at work. I listened to it on the way over here to do the podcast. And to your point, man, like, I like to listen to it in my different states because I'm in different moods.
Mm-hmm.
In the house, I'm listening to the melody. I'm more so listening to the music. In the car, I'm listening to the lyrics.
Yeah.
I can pay attention to the lyrics. And you got some bars in there, man. You do, like, and I don't smoke.
Ain't so no, ain't no
blowing,
smoke.
I ain't blowing no
blowing
smoke.
Blowing no
bro.
Smoke.
The line you had about they telling us we gods and just to hate the image. Ooh, DOA.
DOA. And you know what's crazy? Everybody likes DOA. And I'm telling people, everybody likes DOA because it's a literal song.
Facts.
There's no thought to put in because I'm just telling you what it is. And DOA is really a song that I wrote it as a poem.
Mm.
And it's really about us being young black men in America overcoming what we got to overcome.
Facts.
That's why I say, if my mama was here, I wish she had more to say. And if my father was here, I wish he had more to say. And I'm saying that because both of my parents are gone. So I got to be thankful every day that anything could happen to me.
Facts.
I could have fell off. I could have said, I don't want to do it no more. My mom died and I went to college. Some people's parents died and their life is over.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful that people were around me to keep me up. So when I'm doing this music, I'm also mindful of making my mother proud still.
Okay.
Making my father proud still.
Okay.
Having something that everybody can listen to. I can take my album right now and play it in front of Oprah and she won't get offended.
Facts.
I can take my album right now and play it in front of Obama, he won't get offended. So that means something to me though. Because I want to have my music not have to be censored. I don't want nobody telling me what I can and can't say. I don't want nobody putting parameters on my music. So I make music that can't be denied. Meaning, you may not like it, but there's nothing that's going to censor my music. Because everything in there is the truth. It's coming from a pure place. And I feel like it's divine. Because every time I'm writing a song, I might hear a scripture. I might even hear you say something. I might hear something. I might, all this stuff is going through my head when I'm writing a song as I'm going through life. Like I said, it was a soundtrack to my life. And so, but DOA is a literal song. That's why I say how we God in the flesh, but really hate the image.
It is God in the flesh, but really hate the image. I had to rewind that, and I want to rewind this conversation a little bit because it's flowing so well that I'm skipping over everything that I wrote down. And I'm trying to be the professional podcasting father versus the professional conversationalist, right? So I want to have some kind of structure to the conversation. But let's back up a little bit and talk about the initial project, Still Waiting. Just give us a little insight to how you came up with, A, the name and the project itself.
Okay, so... Still Waiting came from Wait For It. And before Wait For It was If You Were Listening. So If You Were Listening was trying to get your attention.
There you go.
But basically, nobody listened. So I said, okay, Wait For It. Now I'm telling everybody, okay, Wait For It. Now I'm spelling wait, W-E-I-G-H-T, Wait For It. Why am I saying Wait For It? Because I got something that's heavy, that's finna drop.
Facts.
But I also got some weight because the music is dope. So what I want to do with my music is I want you to look at it. It's kind of like those pictures you see. You turn it this way, it looks like something.
Yeah.
You turn it that way, it's something.
Double entendre.
Double entendre. So I want my music to be layered. Meaning I want you to hear a bar, and the bar could mean three different things. Just like the... It's like the Bible. You read a scripture, 10 folks read one scripture and get 10 different things from it. So with my music, I was like, I want to be able to write to where I could be saying multiple things in one line. And you gonna and it seems so simple, but it's really not. It's deeper than rap. That's why I said, I had a quote I said, I plan on breaking down these bars like I'm breaking down a brick. And I said, that is my... purpose, because I feel like you asking me to do a podcast about my album was a dream come true, because nobody ever asked me about my music.
I understand that now. Okay, that makes hella sense. That makes hella sense.
So, Wait For It, Still Waiting is the prequel, but the difference is the Still Waiting is me waiting on y'all.
Facts.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Like this is Free Blanche. I'm here. I'm waiting on y'all. That's why the first song on Still Waiting is Brick. And I did this song album in a short amount of time. Somebody I love dearly funded this whole project.
Facts.
It's a blessing from God, because absolutely, provisions will be made.
Provisions were made.
Provisions were made.
If you step in your purpose.
So I'm on set with KG, and he tells me,
KG?
Kevin Garnett.
There you go.
He listens to two of my songs off this project. And so he's just like, he can't get over. He's like, man, I can't believe it. He's like, what else you got, man? So he's like, I want to hear some more. So I show him my album. So he buys my album, and he tells me, hey, man, I listened to your album, man. Straight back to back twice, man. I'm riding to that. He's just telling me how much he enjoyed the album. And he's like, man, please do your project. Like, do your project. Like, get it done. Like, he just...
get it done.
So I'm like, man, how many? I got to pay for this. I got to pay for this. Studio time, my engineer. I got a great engineer, though. Shout out to Jerome Street. Probably the best engineer I know. I'm like, I got to pay Jerome. You know, he going to want his money. You know, all all this. So,
and he's then, a great friend, but you still got to pay him.
And God, and I always say this, God will always give you a way of escape, but it may come through a person. Mm-hmm. And somebody came through who I love and care about deeply. You know them. And they said, you know what? I want to do this for you as a gift. And I was like, at first I was like, I was fighting it like, nah. But then I was like, it's not right for me to do something that's going to make somebody, that's going to bless somebody's life. Mm-hmm. So, and here we are with the project. So that's how the project even came about to even get done. And of course, people heard some of the songs in the studio and everybody was like, man, this is, people was, they was riding to it. They was vibing to it.
Facts.
So once I heard that, I said to myself, it's on you now. It's, you need to embrace who you are as an artist. And half of me was thinking, well, how can I be a social media presence and be an artist? And and God was like, the same way you could be a chef and a father. Like,
the same way I could be the father, the son,
and like he was. I'm like, oh, man, like that ain't nothing. Like, so I gotta unshackle my own thinking.
Bars.
To say that I can be what I want to be. I decide what I'm going to be. I'm going to set. So my goal with this project was, I said, I'm going to do something that has not been done before. I'm going to do something that nobody else is even doing. That's why on this album, I rapped on R&B beats. Mm-hmm. I sang on rap beats.
Facts.
On purpose. Because I said, I want to do what nobody is doing because I'm embracing who I am. And I'm an outside the box thinker.
Yes, you are.
You know, I'm out the box like some old shoes. So.
Bars. Listen, man. I mean, we could definitely talk all night, and we've done that before. But we want to get into some of these tracks.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you right now, I listen to Bars probably the most. I think the beat on it is great. It's fantastic.
Bricks?
Bricks. What did I say?
There's a Freudian slip. Bars, no, Bricks, same thing. You know?
I said Bricks. I think I said Brick. But anyway, what is it called? Bricks or Bars?
It's called Bricks.
Okay, Bricks. I listened to that one, man, and it's something about that song. I played that song back to back. I love the hook, but it's something about that song where I'm talking about, I don't know if it's the flow. Now, I love DOA straight up for the lyrics, period. Yeah. Like, I know that. Talk about Bricks, man.
So I wasn't going to, Bricks was the last song, you know, I was going to do. I wasn't going to do Bricks mm-hmm. because I just felt like, folks ain't going to get it. And I was just like, man,
I don't know how you would think that they wouldn't get it.
I'm like, folks, people hit me up like they don't get Bricks. People hit me up like they don't get it. But
it's a euphemism. It's a double entendre. You talking about the game of life and you talking about the game of basketball.
I know, man. And I'm like, so I wasn't going to do Bricks. Feeling like, and Bricks were the last two songs I was going to, and I wasn't going to do either one of those songs. Mm-hmm. But Bricks and Feeling Like are like the, Bricks is the intro, mm-hmm. and Feeling Like is the end of the outro. Mm-hmm. And because, well, I'll get to that, but why Feeling Like is the outro. But Bricks, man, I'm thinking, I'm talking to myself in Bricks. I'm literally going through my mind, and I'm like, I tried to tell them, but ain't nobody listen. I used to talk about it, but now I'm on a mission. I dropped a jewel. She picked it up and kissed it. She told me I'm a star, so baby got to wish it. The reason why I said I dropped the jewel is because she didn't know who I was, mm-hmm. but she picked it up and kissed it. And I feel like the folks that don't know you will be embracing what you do. And she picked it up and kissed it. She's like, this is something valuable. And then she telling me when she realized it was me, oh, you a star. And then she started wishing because now she like, shoot, I might have something right here. And Then I say I was walking back to coach, but I still can't see them benches. Walking back to coach, what am I talking about? Walking back to the coach and can't see them benches because I'm getting set down for no reason, coach. You put me out of the game, I deserve to be in.
Or walking back to coach.
Or walking back to coach on a plane and there are no benches. Then I say, but you playing for yourself. Why you always out of position? And on the court, you out of position, and people out of position in life because they're selfish.
Facts.
So that's where those bars are taking me. I'm talking back and forth to myself. Then I say, I forgot what I said after that.
Well, I like what you said about dropping the jewel and she kissed it. And to bring that, and again, not to talk about religion, but to talk about the word and why we incorporate that word in our life. When you say that, I'm going back to what you said earlier about a prophet having no honor at home. And what I'm starting to understand that as I continue my walk in life and not being afraid to be myself and being who God called me to be is people who don't know you see you without a filter because they have no reference.
Yeah, point. They have no reference. You're
they
right.
They have no reference point. They don't have any mistakes you've made, yeah. Any things that you've ever done out of character, said out of character. They don't have anything to quote unquote hold against you.
Yeah.
So when they're receiving you as is.
Face value.
Yeah. This is who he is. I got what they see is what they get, as they say. So when you drop a bar, she's not looking at your words or your phrases or your lyrics in any kind of through no filter. She's looking, like I said, she's receiving it as is. So I can understand. And when I'm listening to your music, I wrote down his music has an international appeal.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, I wouldn't say it's music for black people, it's for white people, it's for these people, it's for club. I would say the music has international appeal.
And it's funny you say that because I look at my sales and they're worldwide. Like, literally around the globe. Mm-hmm. Like, Australia, London, like, literally around the globe. So when you say that, I'm like, I receive it though, because I want my music to be global. I want it to be global. I don't want it to be in any kind of genre, any kind of box to put me in. Let the world hear my music, because it really, at the end of the day, is for the world.
Facts.
I remember the bar. I said, I ain't got the wraith, but I'm going to win the race.
Yes, I remember that bar.
And now I'm in my lane. Ain't no need to switch it. I said wraith and race because Wraith is a popular car made by Rolls Royce. And I said, I ain't got the Wraith, but I'm going to win the race, meaning I don't have what these other quote-unquote rappers have, but I'm going to win the race. And now I'm in my lane, and ain't no need to switch it. I'm in my lane now, meaning all this stuff means something to my life.
Facts.
I'm in my lane because now I'm embracing, like I told you before, embracing who I am as an artist. And I say, so now I'm in my lane, and ain't no need to switch it. But they had me stuck in traffic. And what is traffic? Traffic could be me trafficking dope because it's still waiting. The music is dope. Or traffic in the fact that I'm in a lane I shouldn't be in. Right. So I'm stuck. Then I say, so I went and got a ticket. What's a ticket? A ticket that represents slang for $1 million. Did I get my money from this dope? Or ticket, did I swerve out the lane and break the rules and get away and get in my own lane? All this stuff got a double meaning. Like you said earlier, the song is about the duality in life. Facts. Meaning somebody saying, I'ma sell dope as an only option, or I'm gonna go after my dreams. That's the duality that most of us face, black men in our community, where we're pit literally between the pit and the pendulum of two extremes. Either I gotta go off to be a king, or I gotta be some notorious gangster. And that's just, there's no middle ground for us.
No middle ground. You're absolutely right on that. So, great segue into the second track.
Yeah.
Escape.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that song.
Escape is literally what it's saying is that my dreams are in the way, but they won't let me escape. And I try to run away. You know, basically me saying that I ran from my calling for so long. And even in the midst of you trying to run, they're not letting up. You know, they still coming after you. That's why I say I don't really understand how I'm supposed to be me. They treat me like some contraband, and I like they don't see me. I'm like studio to kitchen, ain't I? I'm in that thing whipping, ain't I? You know what I'm saying? I guess y'all need a fix, but I can't listen to them critics. And at the end of the day, I'm like, I'm talking to myself again, though. And I'm telling myself, and you know what's crazy? Somebody told me that bricks sound just like escape. And I said, no. It's the same. I said, it sounded alike. I said, no. But anyway, but I'll get into that. But even back to bricks, though. I go to a bar where I say, on the start of verse 2, I say, they acting like they know me. Most times, they give you a setup, then they give you punchline for the bar. Mm-hmm. I did it in reverse for a reason. I said, they acting like they know me, sticking to the script, I ain't got no time for phonies. Something for my wrist, I'm talking about a rolly. If you didn't pay attention, then I bet you probably owe me. That means there gonna be a lot of people that didn't listen. But when it come time that you actually listening, it's going to be too late.
Facts.
And you're going to owe me. What you going to owe me?
Now you got to pony up.
Now you got to pay.
You got to pay the premium.
You got to pay the premium price. So when I go to escape, I say my dreams in a way, and they won't let me escape. I can't run away from them. And I'm trying to run away, but I can't. And in verse 2, I'm like, I forgot I started verse 2. I'm drawing a blank with the... You're going to be playing these tracks, probably little snippets.
I will play them.
I just, but...
And I can edit that out, too.
Yeah. Yeah, sure need to edit. Because, how do I start verse 2? Okay, well, in verse 2, I basically end up saying, my dreams have got the best of me in the end. Mm-hmm. Meaning that I've just given up, and I'm not running anymore. I'm just going ahead and embrace who I'm supposed to be, mm-hmm. what I'm supposed to be doing, and all that. So, escape is really a... kind of a song that's leading you into me embracing who I am on this project. Mm-hmm. If you notice, it goes from Brick to Escape, and then we shift right into DOA.
Facts.
So now we're going from the intro, which is Brick, letting you know the struggle. Then the Escape is more or less like the segue. I'm succumbing. You know what? This is where I'm going to be. Now we got DOA. And now I'm talking in DOA. Now I'm just like, it's hard out here, but we never going to admit it. We still ain't got enough, but we still trying to get it. I forgot.
Oh, my God.
I be drawing a blank. I don't know why I draw the blank.
You know why? Because when you're in the flow, when you're in the zone, and I do this all the time, and that's why I call them thought streams.
Yeah.
Because someone asked me, when do I do my podcast? I said, well, I do the note to self in the morning when I wake up. I said, and they're like, well, how are you in that? Like, how can you do that like at 6 a.m., 5 a.m.?
Yeah, I'd be wondering that too.
I said, because at that time, go back to what I said about that girl picking up that jewel. I don't have a filter. I haven't processed anything that I got to do that day. I'm not thinking about work. I'm not thinking about life. I'm not thinking about bills. I'm like the birds chirping outside. God woke me up. I woke up.
You at your purest form.
I'm at my purest, and I'm paying homage to the Father at that point in time, because these thought streams is basically, it's my soul saying, this is, I'm elated to be alive. Mm-hmm. And this is what's coming to me. So I'm so thankful. It's like a blessing to be alive. And you know, I think the therapy that comes from when you are chasing your passions and finding your purpose in life is because it's this thing that we call fulfillment.
Yeah.
And fulfillment doesn't come from external things. It comes from internal things. Again, like passion, love, peace, serenity, just, you know, helping people out.
Yes.
That's fulfilling. And I believe your music has provided therapy, because like I told you, listening to these songs, yes, I'm listening and supporting my friend, but I'm hearing him tell his life story in these songs. Now, number 4, I actually really love the melody of Problems. Yeah. I love the melody and I love the message. So let's talk a little bit about that track.
Okay, so Problems, so... notice that I went from like DOA to Problems. So again, my point was to do what nobody's doing. I basically my goal was to make a urban pop record, mm-hmm. and with Problems. And that was my goal, to be like, you know what? I want to really be true to who I am. I love pop. Like, I really just want this album to be a combination of really what who I am. So I said, what if I go from talking like DOA, fight with the devil and pray for a truce, to go right into problems? Like, you ain't got no problems at all, talking about arguing with your girl. And y'all, every guy has it with a girl when he's arguing and she acting like she's oblivious to what's going on. I'm like,